Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to join me in the Gospel of John. We're going to be today in John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58. We're launching a brand new series today that's focused on the seven I am statements of Jesus. These are statements found in the Gospel of John, statements where Jesus reveals something about his identity and something about his mission in a really powerful fashion. We're going to take one I am statement per week and work our way through all seven of these, beginning this morning with I am the bread of life in John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58. I'll begin reading in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to be gathered together in worship today. Thankful for your presence here with us. Thankful for all that you have poured into our lives, the blessings that continue to come. And it's our prayer that as we are in the midst of worship, that what we are offering to you is bringing you the glory you deserve. We're thankful for Scripture as well, in particular the Gospels, as they describe your life and ministry, Jesus. And so in these next few minutes, as we focus on this passage from the Gospel of John, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Scripture provides many portraits of who Jesus was and what he came to do. In a way, the whole breadth of Scripture is a gradual revelation of Jesus. And if the whole of Scripture provides these kinds of portraits, these seven I am statements in the Gospel of John are, in a sense, self-portraits. Each of them provides a fascinating reinterpretation of a major component of Judaism as Jesus shows the world what he has come to do. Now let's start with a little bit of context for today's passage. Jesus' public ministry is underway. The feeding of the 5,000 had just taken place in John chapter 6. And right after that miracle, the crowd that had gathered there and received that blessing, they tried to make Jesus king. He evaded them on that occasion, but they track him down again in verse 25 of this chapter. Jesus begins to talk about food that endures to eternal life as the crowd gathers around him once again. He focuses on the concept of eating and drinking in verses 48 to 52. In 48, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." He's speaking of food that endures, and yet he's saying that he is that food. He had provided that food for them earlier in this chapter, but now he says, "I am that bread. I am the bread of life that every one of you needs." Jesus ties this to their Jewish history. Their ancestors ate manna that was provided by God the Father throughout their wilderness wanderings, but they eventually died. Yet here is the bread, Jesus says, that comes down from heaven, speaking of his incarnation, and anyone may eat of it and not die, speaking of the salvation that Jesus brings. Verse 51 reiterates this reality, but adds a reference to sacrifice. Jesus speaks of my flesh, which I will give for the world. Now the crowd is talking. Yet they're arguing sharply with Jesus. You can picture it, right? Jesus begins talking about this bread, and they thought, well, here we go again. Good thing I'm hungry. Here comes some more bread. Jesus is going to perform more miracles. Everyone gather around. But then this guy starts talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. And as they're arguing sharply amongst themselves, they're like, what is this guy talking about? Does he really think that we're going to eat his flesh? Is that the kind of thing this cult leader is developing here among us? That's kind of the incredulity they're expressing in the face of what Jesus is talking about. Let's be honest. Wouldn't we be thinking the same thing if we were in the crowd that day? What on earth? What is he talking about? It kind of reminds me of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. That's the one where Jesus is saying to him, all you got to do is be born again, Nicodemus. And you could just picture his brain blowing up as he's talking to Jesus. I'm a grown man, Jesus. How am I supposed to be born again? Jesus loved taking these intriguing images and laying them before people so that they can rustle everything up and rethink their reality. I think he does it on purpose to shock folks and wake them up and tune them into what he's teaching so they can really grasp the power of what Jesus came to bring. He's doing the same thing here with those who have gathered around, feeding upon Jesus. So was Jesus intending that we literally eat his flesh? If not, what does it mean to feed upon Jesus? It helps to take a closer look at what Jesus has been teaching throughout this chapter. Context is always king. We want to look at what's happening around the passage we're focused on. And if we do that here, we learn incredible things. Jesus was talking about believing in him. He did it in verses 29, 35, 40, and 47. In verse 35, he talks about coming to him. In verse 40, he talks about looking to him. In verse 45, he talks about listening and learning from him. Eating and drinking are mentioned in this context, in the context of all the rest of that teaching. And all of those are references to faith. Eating and drinking is a tangible picture of faith. And it's a beautiful picture of faith. Because wrapped within that, you have this sense of sustenance. That our faith isn't just a mind decision that we make. Oh yeah, these are the things I believe, or I classify myself as a Christian, but rather a life decision, a posture, and a transformation infused with God's power that sustains us in this life. And much the way Kyle was talking with our children, and you know that when Kyle's up here, he's talking to all of us, right? I mean, that's where the real message is when Kyle's up here with the kids. He's talking about eating and not having to eat again when it comes to our soul hunger. And so eating and drinking, as Jesus talks about it here, that's this sustenance that our faith can bring to this life. Not just intellect, not just rhythm of life, but soul-sustaining faith that transforms our future, where we spend eternity, but more than that, transforms the here and now. So feeding upon Jesus with what result? Well, verses 53 to 58, he clarifies, simply stated, with the result of eternal life. And eternal life isn't just future. Eternal life is a quality of life that begins, that blooms the moment this sustaining faith takes root in our lives. Without this faith, Jesus says, you have no life in you. With this faith, Jesus says, whoever eats and drinks has eternal life. He says, we will be raised up at the last day, resurrected just as Jesus was. And as if he hasn't made his point yet, Jesus finishes this section with three additional pictures of what all of this means. In verse 55, he speaks of his flesh being real food and his blood being real drink. That flesh represents his life. That blood represents his death. We're supposed to see their significance in both Jesus' earthly ministry while he was present among his disciples and among the people, but also in his saving death that leads to resurrection. In verse 56, Jesus says, whoever does so remains in me and I in them. In this, he emphasizes the relational nature of faith, the relational nature of our salvation. That we've been called into a relationship with the living God. There's fellowship, there's intimacy, and all of that begins the moment we choose faith. In verse 57, Jesus speaks of life, the living Father and the living Son. And he says, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Finally, in verse 58, he says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." It was a radical teaching. And the people that listened to Jesus that day were disturbed. They weren't just arguing with him or amongst themselves, as we saw initially. But if we look ahead in verses 60 and 66, we see that some struggled so much that they turned away. It was enough. It was too much. They couldn't handle these images that Jesus was bringing. They couldn't handle how radical his teaching was. It was just too different from what they'd come from. And I think what that does for us as we sit in service today is it begs the question, what will we do with Jesus' self-revelation? What do we do with Jesus' statements in Scripture that throw us off, that shock us, that fill us with fear? The ones that we want to ignore and move on to the easier passages from. What do we do with who Jesus says he is and what he wants to do in our lives? All through this series, all seven of these I am statements are going to give us the opportunity to pause and to revel in the way Jesus has revealed himself and to ask ourselves honestly, have I received that revelation of Jesus? Do I receive him as the bread of life? Have I consumed him in that way? Have I expressed faith in that way? And has my faith been a sustaining faith as a result? So each week as we walk out of here, we're only going to hit the tip of the iceberg as we talk together out of the passage. And it becomes very essential for us to continue that study as we move into the week by returning to the passage, studying it for ourselves, by opening up a few other translations to see the different angles that go with it, using the questions that come in your bulletin to unpack things. And I think most of all, saying to Jesus at the outset of this time, reveal yourself to me. Reveal your power. Reveal your identity. Reveal your mission to me in brand new and powerful ways. Let me pray in that way for us now. Lord Jesus, we are always intrigued when we come to the Gospels. Always intrigued as we see you moving among the people, performing miracles, and teaching about your reality, teaching about your identity. And Jesus, we can see it's confusing at times. If we were standing in the crowd that day, we'd have the same questions about what it was you were teaching. As we take in the wholeness of who you are and how you revealed yourself throughout the Gospels, we can see that what you were talking about was that enduring faith, that sustaining faith that you have designed us for, that you have come to sustain us all, to restore us all, to transform us all once and for all through your power. And so help us across these next few weeks to take your self-revelation seriously, perhaps to learn something new about you and in the process always learning new things about ourselves. Help us to have the courage to receive who you are as you reveal yourself to us. I pray all of these things now, Jesus, in your name. Amen.